Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this evening's message is our epistle reading from 1 Peter, and we're going to be focusing specifically on these words. The end of all things is at hand, therefore. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, so wonderful to gather together in worship, even if it is online. Lord God, during these trying times, we pray that your word brings us comfort, peace, and hope, all because of your Son, Jesus Christ. May the words that are heard right now, may they sink deep into our hearts and flow out into our lives. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series, Life Together, and we've been kind of unpacking some pretty deep things here, talking about how we live together as the body of Christ in this post-Christian world. And we've been asking some deep questions and thinking some deep thoughts and looking at some deep issues. We started out with, you know, is life better in my hands? And then the week after that, we were struggling with this whole idea of, you know what, I'm just being true to myself. And then last week, we were answering the question, is this it? Is this it in my life? Well, tonight we have another deep question that we're going to be answering. And that question is, who am I? Now, that is a very deep question. So let me put it in everyday terms. Tell me about yourself. Have you ever had that before when you, meet someone and they say, hey, nice to meet you. Tell me about yourself. But do you often notice that when you answer that or when someone else answers that, it tends to be kind of this static, isolated picture of who you are? You know, you think about your relationships. Well, I'm the husband or wife or son or daughter or father or mother of whoever. Maybe you think about your occupation. I work at this office or I work for this company. Maybe you even think of yourself, as a citizen. You know, I'm a member of, St. John's. I live in LaGrange or LaGrange Park or Western Springs or Chicagoland. I'm an American citizen. And maybe you even, throw in a hobby or two. Well, I'm also, I'm a biker. I like to go ride my bike, or I'm a jogger or a runner. And you just start piecing together this isolated, kind of static individual. And that's okay. But I want you to consider something that I ran across from author Robert McKee in his book Story, in which he talks about characterization versus character. Whenever we read a story or whenever we see a play or a movie and we see characters, we often look at the characterization, blonde hair, blue-eyed, this tall, they work here, they're in this relationship with someone. But Robert McKee actually says true character is revealed by choices made under pressure. If you really want to know who someone is, then you see what they decide to do with their lives when the screws are turned tight. Now let's take that and let's actually apply it to our question, who am I? Who am I if someone is actually crying out, the end is near? Let me give you an example. Back in 1852, the warship, the HMS Birkenhead, struck rocks off the coast of Africa and started to sink, and sink fast. Now, even though there were a total of 22 women and children on the boat along with a ton of British soldiers. When the captain saw that all was lost, what do you think he said? Every man for himself. I mean, self-preservation instincts just kicked in right away. And he just said, take care of yourself. And what happened? Well, the opposite happened. The British soldiers and their commander did not panic, and they did not say every man for themselves. They were not sprinting ahead of others trying to get to the lifeboats first. No. They put the women and the children on board the lifeboats first. That's where we get that phrase, women and children first. So, if you're going to ask that question, who am I when the end is near? Think about it. Who am I when tornadoes tear through downtown Nashville, Tennessee, destroying homes, destroying businesses, and destroying lives? Who am I during a global pandemic of the coronavirus that has crippled everything in its wake? Who am I when the world is literally falling apart? Who am I when I suffer? When I suffer in my body because of a virus that I can't see, because of disease, because of illness? Who am I when I suffer because of my sin? And who am I when I suffer because of my faith in Jesus? If you were going to answer that question, who am I, would you say that you are someone who says every man for himself and take care of yourself first? Or are you someone that would put the needs of others ahead of your own, that would serve others in need, that would love others when the end is near? This is what St. Peter was saying in our text from the fourth chapter of his first letter. He says, the end of all things is at hand. And for the people that he was writing to, the Christians dispersed across Asia Minor, it sure felt like it. Because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they were social outcasts. They were alienated in their relationships, sometimes even within their own marriages. And they were threatened with and experiencing social distancing, outcasts, you name it. But they were also experiencing economic loss and safety, physical safety, all because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And it was at this time when they were suffering so greatly, they were tempted to just say, every man for himself. But Peter, he instead points to Jesus. To Jesus and to one another. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You see, this love that Peter is talking about can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter says the end of all things is at hand, he's not talking about a pandemic. He's not talking about the world falling apart. He's not talking about even some distant event in the future. He's talking about the present, a present that has been completely changed because Jesus has come. When you and I were lost and devastated by our sin, our world and our lives completely breaking apart, and we were crying out, this is the end. Jesus, he didn't put his own needs ahead of us. He didn't consider his own holiness, his own righteousness, and just leave us to die. No, he put our needs above his own by coming among us in the flesh. And in that flesh, he suffered greatly, even to the point of death on a cross, and then rose again, all to save you and me. And he does this not just so he can save a bunch of isolated individuals who are constantly asking, who am I? No. No, he is creating a community. He is creating a community that cares for one another, that loves one another deeply when the end of all things is at hand. So you see, we don't ask the question, who am I? Rather, we ask, who are we? And let me give you an answer to kind of help you with that. We've been reading quotes from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor that was martyred by the Nazis. And we've been reading quotes from his book, Life Together. And I want to read this to you tonight. Nobody is too good for the meanest service. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important tasks, as the priest passed by the man who had fallen among thieves, perhaps reading the Bible. When we do that, we pass by the visible sign of the cross raised athwart our path to show us that not our way, but God's way must be done. And this God's way that Bonhoeffer was talking about, this is detailed in our text. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You see, who are we? We are people of God who pray earnestly for one another in all the highs and lows of life. Who are we? We are those who love one another, a love that is so deep that we forgive one another's trespasses. Who are we? We are ones who show hospitality. We don't hoard it all for ourselves. We seek to share what we have. And who are we? We are ones who serve one another in love as God has gifted us in both word and deed. And you notice as Peter is writing this, he can't, you know, we're not talking about doing all this within a sanctuary building for a few hours, one or two days a week. This is our life together, 24/7. 365 in the cracks and crevices of life. So I pray that you and I are living this life together when the end of all things is at hand. When Jesus comes again on the last day and he asks all of us, who are you? And we can humbly and boldly proclaim to him, we are the beloved, the ones that you died and rose for to save. We are the body of Christ, loving and serving one another, putting the needs of others ahead of our own. And we do it all so that God may be glorified this. This is who we are. Amen.